I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of time. Every single day that song makes me smile. Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to spend this time with you. I look forward to joining you every single day to bring you conversations that inspire you in your faith walk, deepen your understanding of God's Word, and heighten your awareness of His presence in your life. And today is no different. We've got a great show planned for you today. On his 10-year anniversary, pastor and chaplain for the Detroit Lions, Dave Wilson, would have rated his marriage a 9.8, maybe even a 10, and would have guaranteed that his wife felt the same. But Anne had other feelings, and that night she whispered five words that could have ended their marriage. She said to him, "I've lost feelings for you." Well, rather than trying to prove to Anne how dedicated he was as a husband and father, Dave heard God tell him to do something different, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. Their new book, Vertical Marriage, Dave and Anne share the secret that they learned that will change your marriage. A quick announcement before we hear from Dave and Anne. We've got an exciting conference coming up. I'm so excited. Our third annual Northwestern Christian Writers Conference this summer, but we are taking registrations now. We've got an A-list faculty. I'm telling you, when people ask me for publishing advice, I tell them, get to a writers conference, and we've provided an A-list epic conference. You can find more information on the web at NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com or on our website, MyFaithRadio.com. All right, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Dave and Ann Wilson are co-founders and teaching pastors of Kensington Community Church, a national multi-campus church that hosts more than 14,000 attendees every single weekend. And the big news these days is they've recently been named the new hosts of Family Life Today. Dave and Ann, this is the one time I want you to talk at the same time. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. We're glad to be here.
Good to have you.
So fun to be with you.
Looking forward to the conversation. And I love gut-level, honest books. I joke behind the scenes, this is the no-fluff zone. And man, I so appreciate that you didn't hold anything back. And I'm looking forward for our listeners just to hear your story. And we've got a handful of copies to get books to get into your hands, friends, and I'll tell you how in a minute. But if we could start with you, Dave, we love to start every day talking scripture. We just love God's word and wondering if you either have a life verse or just one you've been pondering these days you can share with us.
Well, I really do have a life verse, and it's interesting that it's sort of the story of our marriage as well. I mean, I thought, as we'll hear, that our marriage was done and sort of dead. And then, you know, Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians, I'm sure you know it, Ephesians 3:20, he says, "Now to him," talking about Jesus, "now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." That is my life verse. I love dreaming big because God is a big God that does amazing things. I'm not saying life isn't hard. I'm not saying you don't have to go through hard things. But he has done immeasurably more in our marriage, in our family, our legacy, our church, and our ministry than I could ever dreamed. So that's a life verse for me.
And that's why we asked the question, because I've already feel like I've just been to church, because that's, you know, a reminder and an inspiration of how real and live and living his word is. How about you, Anne?
Well, ever since I gave my life to Christ, and I was only 16, this is a verse that has really stuck out to me. And now, so many years later, it's become even more important, and that is Romans 12:1 and 2. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." And that verse I love because I think my life really started spiritually when I gave Jesus everything, when I laid my life on the altar and said, "God, I'll do whatever and go wherever and be whoever you've created me to be." The hard part is verse 2, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And that's the part I feel like at the beginning of our marriage, we struggled so much because I didn't have a plan for marriage. I just thought, oh, I'm just going to do it the way everybody's done it. But that doesn't work. And I think for me, and I think a lot of us, learning to how to not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that's the part that we go vertical. And I think that changes everything.
Wow, and such an amazing, powerful word. There's so much there. I feel like we could spend the rest of the show on the idea of how many people, you know, show up in marriage and don't have a plan. I'm thinking people, yeah, the light bulb is over the head like, wait, a plan? What? I would love to just go get some backstory, starting with you, Anne, on backstory on your marriage. Give us context for what marriage was like, maybe how you came into marriage and just how it evolved. And then, Dave, I'd love for you to answer the same question after Anne.
Dave and I, we grew up in the same hometown. And I knew of Dave. He was older than I was, and he didn't have a great reputation. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I didn't go to church much growing up, and Dave really had no faith. And so that's all we knew of each other. But after hearing that he had become a believer and I had already given my life, I was very new in my faith, we connected to really just grow spiritually. Well, that grew much deeper, and we fell in love with God. And we fell in love with each other as we started to grow. And honestly, we thought, how hard can marriage be? Mm-hmm. You know, we love Jesus. We love each other. This is going to be easy, even though we really had no role models. We just thought it would be easy. And so we got married. We went on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ, or CRU, really excited about advancing God's kingdom together. However, we didn't realize that we were both carrying a lot of baggage and wounds from our past and growing up that really affected our relationship. And so 6 months in, I thought I had made the biggest mistake of my life, and I told Dave that. I've made the biggest mistake of my life by marrying you, 6 months in. Mm. And we were in deep, deep trouble that quick. We pulled out that manual that we had gone to a weekend Remember Marriage conference 2 weeks before we got married, and thinking, this, how hard can it be? We didn't even take notes. We really didn't pay much attention, but we pulled that manual out 6 months later, and we started going through it, and that really gave us some foundation, and we got better. But then, as every marriage, I don't think we even knew this, marriage has some real highs and some real lows. And we hit some real valleys in the middle of that.
Okay, Dave, I'd love your perspective as well. Appreciate that, Anne.
Yeah, I mean, my perspective was very similar. I really did think marriage can't be that hard. And it was really, like Anne said, it was because we thought if you have Jesus at the center of your marriage and center of your life, things are going to be good, things aren't going to be bad or hard. Obviously, we were very immature. We had no idea that just because Jesus is in your life doesn't mean life isn't full of valleys. But we went in, you know, right from the start into a very dark valley. I mean, that first year of our marriage was one of the hardest years of our life. I mean, we tell a story in the book, which is, I can't believe this actually happened, but we were in our first job. Again, we're in full-time ministry. I'm the chaplain for the Nebraska Cornhuskers in Lincoln, Nebraska. We've been married like 7 or 8 months, and we're fighting every night. You know, we can't get along. We're actually leading a marriage Bible study for the players on the team. And, you know, we're not living any of it, but we're trying to figure this thing out. And I get out of bed in the middle of the night, and I couldn't sleep, and opened the Word of God and ended up in the book of Philippians, where Paul writes, to live is Christ, to die is gain. You know, like, my whole life is Christ, but if I die, it's even better because I'm being in heaven with Jesus. And I got on my knees and prayed, and I said, God, I'd rather be dead than married to this woman. I mean, it sounds funny now, but, I mean, that's where we were. And the crazy thing is, Anne came downstairs and saw me there, and we were counseled before we got married that you share everything with one another, every thought.
And I know what's going to happen
so
next.
I tell her that. Yeah, I say to her, she goes, what are you doing? And she's thinking, this is great. My husband's in the Word. And I say, yeah, I just prayed I'd rather be dead than married to you. And she just looks at me and I'm like, God, that's bad advice. Don't do that. I should have never shared that. But, I mean, again, it's funny now, but I think it's funny because we're still married. But if we would have ended up getting divorced, that's where we were. I mean, I don't think people understand, unless they're there, that's how desperate I was. I was like, I made the biggest mistake of my life. We should have never married, never even thinking. I come from a divorced home, alcoholic parents, you know, thinking, oh, that's all in the past. You're not going to bring that into your marriage. Anne comes from abuse. All that comes in. You know, it's like you walk down the aisle and nobody sees this, but the groom and the bride are both carrying luggage. They've mm-hmm. got bags yes. that they're walking into that altar with, and that's coming into your marriage, and that's where we were.
Wow. And as you said, there's these seasons that evolve, and so somehow, some way, you must have hit some kind of stride, and it's so common with Christian couples where you still, though, you're running parallel paths, you know, doing ministry mm-hmm. and those kinds of things, and you're draining from the account. Take us up, if you would, mm-hmm. to the 10th anniversary. Your husband was knocking it out of the park with a rose here and a rose there. I mean, you're at a restaurant. This waiter is bringing out one rose at a time, and he's recalling memories. But you weren't feeling it so much. Tell me about what was going on inside of you as you were being really surrounded by a lot of women's dream.
Mm. Well, we had been married. It was our 10-year anniversary, and we were at a very busy stage of our lives. We had a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. Dave was a chaplain with the Lions, so he was traveling with the team. We had just started speaking and doing marriage conferences. And we were also starting this church, which is a dream for both of us. But what was happening was Dave was gone more and more. And I felt like I was fighting for our kids, too. I wanted him home. And I wasn't, you know, at first I was nice in how I communicated. But after a while, honestly, he would leave and I would say things like, "You're leaving again? Seriously? You know, will our boys even know you?" And I really responded in anger. And then Dave would lash back, basically saying, "You're wrong. I am here. I am invested." And so that was kind of the cycle. But on our 10-year anniversary, man, he pulled out all the stops. We had a great restaurant, and just as you said, Susie, he had a rose for every year we had been married. We communicated. He gave the highlights of each year. And I knew, like, this is so sweet, you know, just that he had put the time and effort in. And so afterwards, he thought, we were starting our church in a little middle school. And so he was all excited because we were going to go there and pray about the beginning of this church. And then he thought this would be cool just to go parking there, you know, maybe a little makeout session in the back seat. And so.
What do you mean a little, little makeout session? This is going to be a big one.
After 10 roses, I'm just saying. But anyway.
Yeah.
I know.
Exactly.
Right. He's like, he's done everything right, you know?
Yeah.
And so he goes to kiss me and, then he says, like, "I can tell you're pulling away. What's wrong?" And I didn't want to go there because he really did have this spectacular night. But then he kept pressing, and I finally just said, "Dave, I have lost all my feelings. I have nothing left. And honestly, I felt like it's too late. You've put this great effort in, but my heart is already gone."
Mm-hmm. We're going to pause here. We need to take a break, but, you know, just over relating, we have 3 boys. We hit a place like that too, where my account was empty. My dear husband was a workaholic, and hitting that same place. I was just over relating as I'm reading the story. Yeah. Talking to Dave and Ann Wilson, title of their book, Vertical Marriage, The One Secret That Will Change Your Marriage. We've got a handful of copies. Like I said, this book is raw and real, and I love books like that. Email if you want in on the drawing, middays@myfaithradio.com, middays@myfaithradio.com. Put Vertical Marriage in that subject line. Please remember the mailing address. When we come back, we're going to hear that story about that night from Dave's perspective and where God took them from here. We'll be back in a minute.
Tell me to love with open arms like you do. A love that erases all the lines and sees the truth. Oh, that when they look in my eyes, they would see you. Even in just a smile, they would feel the Father's love.
Wanted to let that song play out. So beautiful. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to Dave and Ann Wilson today. Title of their book, Vertical Marriage, The One Secret That Will Change Your Marriage. And it opens kind of with this riveting story on their 10-year anniversary. Dave is just doing it up, takes her to a nice restaurant, has the waiter deliver a rose, one rose at a time for every year that they've been married. They get to this little parking lot where they're launching a church. They're going to pray, and Dave was hoping for a little makeout session too. but then Ann was able to say, "You know what? I don't feel the same. And my account is basically bone dry, empty." And Dave, take it from there. Golly, again, I just appreciate your story and the way that you tell it. Take it if you would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was you know, now looking back, I'm sort of shocked how naive I was to think our marriage was doing as well as I thought it was. I really did think it was like a 9.8 on a scale of 1 to 10. And so sitting there when she said, I've lost my feelings, first of all, I was in shock. You know, I was like, there's no way. This can't be happening. But then as she shared, you know, sort of her journey of going from anger all the way to numbness now, man, oh, man. First of all, I was mad. I was like, I said in the book, I actually turned to reach in the back seat of our little Honda Accord, and I was going to grab my day planner. Back then it was written down on paper, and I was going to prove to her that she was wrong, that I was home, and I was home more than she thought. And I got to be honest, that's how our fights usually went. I defended myself. I told her she was wrong. And you can imagine how that usually went. That is no way to resolve conflict. But that's what I was about to do again, which would have ended horribly like they usually did. And so as I was turning to grab my day planner, I heard the voice of God. And I mean, I'm not saying an audible voice, but the Holy Spirit of God lives in the temple of God, which is the human soul. And Jesus lives in me and lives in any believer. Can he speak? Yep. And he spoke. And it was just like a nudge. It was actually more like a shove, because I heard two words, shut up. And it was like that direct. I mean, sometimes God has to be that direct, which meant do not interrupt her. Just listen. If you lean in and listen, you're going to hear something. So I didn't grab my planner. I just pulled my arm back and I just said, tell me more. And she told me what she was feeling. And then I heard God's voice one more time. And it was one word. And he said it three times, repent. Repent, repent. And so is this very interesting, almost mysterious conversation going on. I'm listening to Anne on a horizontal level, but I have this vertical connection with God where he's saying to me one word. And here's the thing. You know, I'm a preacher. I've studied the word repent. I'm sure, Susie, you have as well. And, you know, I've taught this, you know, metanoia, change your mind, change your direction, turn and go a different way. But I knew in one word what God was saying. All of this was in one word, and this is how beautiful God is. All he needed to say to me was one word, and he knew I knew. I was lukewarm. I was running around doing ministry for God, but leaving God in the dust. I had not opened the Word of God just to sit with God and love him and be loved by him, to understand my identity in Christ through the Word of God. I hadn't done that in months, probably close to a year. I was just running from one ministry event, speaking at this, speaking at that, you know, looking at the Word of God to get a sermon just so people would say, you're amazing. And, you know, in one word, God was saying, there's no way this horizontal marriage is ever going to work unless I'm first. You got to go vertical. I've got to be first. And if you put me in control, this marriage has a chance. That was all in one word. And so, long story short, I said to Ann right there, she doesn't know this is going on. She's talking, and I'm listening, and I just said to her, I said, honey, we need to talk, and I want to hear more of what you're thinking and feeling, but I need to do something, and I need to do it right here, right now. And she had no idea what that meant. I said, you don't need to do this, but I need to do this, and I want to be on my knees. And I don't always pray on my knees, but, man, I wanted my body to be in full submission. So I got on my knees in the front seat of a Honda Accord, don't ask me how, and I just prayed out loud, and I said something like, God, I am lukewarm, and I know what you think of lukewarm. And I remember growing up in a church where I judged people that were lukewarm, thinking I will never be that guy, and I was that guy, preaching it but not living it. And so I said, God, I want to be hot. I want you to be number one in my life. I put you on the throne and in control. I ask you to make me the husband that she deserves, make me the dad that my boys are longing for. And God, I surrender and I repent. And I pray that you'd save this marriage. Amen. And I turned to Ann to talk. Okay, let's talk. And as I turned, I look, and she's on her knees in the front seat on the passenger side.
Wow. You know, it's really, Ann was speaking, you know, out of her heart, but God was using her as a mouthpiece for you in such a direct way. And it just goes to show you, you know, God's will for you, Dave, will never contradict his will for Anne. And when we abide in the vine, we bear much fruit. And it wasn't his will that you wander and strive, which most Christians do, but the fruit then is so diminished, and she's no longer nourished by the fruit in your life. But you come back to that abiding place, she's automatically nourished by it. I mean, I think it's a profound prospect. You know what I'm saying? When you think about your repentance before the Lord was a first step in healing with your wife. I mean, doesn't that just make you tremble in your boots, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, even now, recounting the story, I'm so humbled and almost in tears. It's like, God is so good. Because I would have never gone there. My heart was angry, and yet God broke through and said, it's all about me. It's all about Jesus. And we tried, you know, the rest of the book is how does that live out? But we tried to put it on almost every page. Without Christ, you're just, it's hopeless. He is the answer, period. Yeah.
Well, we just got about 2.5 minutes to our heartbreak at the bottom, Ann, but I got to just know, I mean, I love that. I mean, it must have been shocking because how many wives will make that statement and be met by defense? And I mean, you open your eyes and he's on somehow finagled his way to the floor behind the steering wheel. I mean, that had to have just been unbelievable for you. But in the days to come, because you'd had a wall up, did it take some time for that wall to come down? Did you trust slowly?
Yeah.
What was that like for you?
Well, it's so interesting. I think I was prideful in thinking this was all Dave's fault. And so, you know, Proverbs says a gentle answer turns away wrath. And so when he was gentle in his response, and then when he prayed on his knees, Susie, I was instantly convicted. Because what I realized was I felt God speaking directly to my heart, and I felt like he said, Ann Wilson, you have had your focus on Dave, wanting him to meet all your needs, thinking if he would just get his act together, you would be happy and fulfilled. I never made him and I never equipped him to fulfill all your needs. That is my job. And so I was so convicted because what I realized was that as I was focusing so much on Dave, I had taken my eyes off of Jesus as the fulfiller and sustainer and joy giver of my life. And it's almost like my marriage and Dave had become an idol, thinking if, you know, that's what's going to make me happy. But honestly, I was so convicted, I got on my knees beside Dave, and I just said, Lord, I have been looking to Dave to meet my needs and to fulfill all these wounds, and that he cannot do because you never equipped him for that. That is your job, and so I'm going to put you back in first place in my life. It's exactly Romans 12:1. You know, I give my life to you as a human living sacrifice. And so that was the beginning of a lot of work.
It is amazing how critical repentance is when a marriage is on the rocks. I remember for us when we hit that point, my account was empty as well. And I remember the Lord whispering in my heart saying, you know, he still loves you. He's kind. He's missing it. But you've committed the greater sin in my situation because you've allowed your love to grow cold. You made a promise. And because of my fear of God, because I had no more feelings for my husband, I literally went on my knees before my husband and said, you've broken my heart, but I've committed the greater sin and by letting my love grow cold. So I'm committing to love you whether you get me or not because I fear God. Mm. And that act, and I did get on my knees too just because I needed to get low. Mm. And I saw the scales come off of his eyes. After all the pleading, begging, fighting before that, he says, is this what my choices have been doing to you? And I marvel that repentance was the doorway to intimacy. But we have to pause here. But when we come back, this is not for sissies. This is serious stuff. This is why vertical marriage is so important. And we've got to be serious about our walk with the Lord and what he wants to do in our lives so that he can do it through us in our marriage as well. Ann and Dave Wilson are my very precious guests today. Their book is Vertical Marriage. Email if you want in on the drawing. I'd love for you to get a copy. middays@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a minute. Days. I'm Susie Larson. How often and easily we drift from our first love. And when we do that, it seems like everything else falls apart. I'm really glad you tuned in because we're talking about the sacredness and importance of marriage and how you have a thriving marriage as you walk intimately with God. Talking to Dave and Ann Wilson, their book is titled Vertical Marriage, The One Secret That Will Change Your Marriage. And I said this before the break, raw, real, amazing book. I'd love to get a copy in your hands. You can enter the drawing this way, middays@myfaithradio.com. and then put vertical marriage in the subject line, and don't forget that mailing address. And Anne, you had an interesting experience on your honeymoon. You woke up in the middle of the night to the Lord's prompting, kind of reminds you of Samuel. Lord, it's me, I'm here. And the Lord prompted you to read the book of James. I want you to tell us about that experience and what came of it.
Well, it was on our honeymoon. I think we had a two-week honeymoon, so it was about 7 days in. And I woke up in the middle of the night. Mind you, I'm only 19-year-old bride, and I'm very new in my faith. And so this was very supernatural. I had never had anything like it happen in my life. But there was almost a hushed holiness in the room. And it did feel like Samuel, maybe what he felt like, because I felt God calling my name. And so I got down on my knees in this reverence, because it did feel like, oh my gosh, God is speaking to me. And all I heard in my spirit was, read the book of James. It was as simple as that, and then that was it. And I got back in my bed, and the next morning I told Dave, so weird. I felt like, I think it was God woke me up and told me to read the book of James. And I was so young in my faith, I didn't even know what the book of James was about. And so I was excited, like, Dave, let's read this. This must be, you know, God's going to give us all these wonderful visions of wonder and beauty and success and all these great things in our future. And so I start reading it, and, you know, it begins, consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials. And I'm like, trials? Why are we reading about trials? And yet I felt like God gave me this warning, almost as if something's going to be coming, but I just want you to be aware that the trials that come are going to test you, but I'm in it, and I'm going to transform you and renew you and make you even more complete through these. That wasn't exactly what I was hoping to hear on my honeymoon.
You know, I marvel, Dave, I'd love for you just to speak to this encounter, but I just, from the outside looking in, you know, you look at even what God has you doing now. You know, I always say the devil sees your potential long before you ever do. And, you know, God knew, obviously, the enemy was going to level some attacks at you, and he made sure to provide grace, just a sense of vision for where he's taking you, so that you could stand in battle, because the call is even bigger than you thought. And Dave, I want you to just talk about, like, what did that mean to you when she was telling you about this, and how, as you read the book of James, what went through your mind?
Well, I laugh because, you know, when you read that passage that Anne, you know, came to me with, it's all about trials. And I laugh because I've been the Detroit Lions chaplain for 33 years, and it got to the point where the players would say to me, never read the book of James, because every time you teach that, we lose games and people get hurt. You know, it's like, it's about trials, and we don't want any trials in our life. And, you know, when Ann did that on the honeymoon, it was the last thing I wanted to hear. And nobody wants to go through a trial. And yet, we've been married almost 39 years now, and I can look back and know that this is true. God does his best work in the darkness, in the valleys, in the trials. And not that he doesn't do great work in joy and in the mountains as well. But even sitting in our car on our 10-year anniversary, one of my first thoughts when we started to walk through that valley was, I'm never going to tell anybody this story. You know, I'm embarrassed. It's hurtful. We're in a dark place. We're just going to keep this one to ourselves. And yet God wants to work right in that valley. And then I believe this with everything I have. He wants to use our pain and his victory in our pain and his strength in our pain and his peace and hope in our pain to help others. And you've mentioned a couple times how raw the book is. It's raw because we know people live right there, and they need somebody to say, honestly, it was really hard, and it is hard, and yet there's a God that's holding you, that's carrying you through this valley. Hang on to him. You'll make it. Just don't give up. And so we're that couple that will share all the laundry. Sometimes people are, you know, just almost sitting in the back of their chair like, gee whiz, you don't hide anything. And we're like, no, we're not going to hide it, because we know we all experience it. And we also know there's a God that meets us right in the middle of our brokenness.
Yeah. Well, and you know, you look, you're living to tell, you're still standing. And I think of how many people go through those valleys and they leave the marriage in the valley and they come through with their flesh intact. But so much has to die in the valley. But one thing that God doesn't want to die are your dreams or your call and your marriage. And I'm wondering what changed for you, or did, how did things change, Dave, after that night on your anniversary? I mean, did you sense, because you weren't just repenting before your wife, you were repenting before God. And I so appreciated this. You were talking about, you know, going to the Bible for a sermon rather than enjoying the Lord. Did this, did, was it a turn on the dime kind of thing, or how did things change for you after that?
Well, some of it was a turn on the dime, but most of it was a whole new rhythm, discipline in my life. And, you know, it's interesting. Here's another passage that I had preached and now I had to live. And it's in the book of Revelation where Jesus gives a you know, revelation to John to write down. And one of the revelations is he says to the church at, I think it's Laodicea, he says, you've lost your first love. And it's interesting when he says that, you persevere, but you've lost your first love. And what does he tell them to do to get it back? It's really interesting. He says, repent. Mm-hmm. Heard that word before. And then he says, and do the things you did at first. And that was what I had to do, and that Anne and I had to do in our marriage, is like, do the things we did at first. If you've lost the love that you once had, do the things you once did. It's the same thing in marriage, same thing in your walk with God. I used to sit with Jesus every day. You know, I used to carve out time, call it a quiet time, devotional, whatever you want to call it. I had just gotten so busy, I neglected a very important rhythm or discipline in my life. So that's where it started. We put it in the book, this whole idea of divert daily, withdraw weekly, abandon annually for your walk with God. So every day, divert away from your normal routine, busy schedule, and say, I'm going to spend some time with Jesus today. I'm going to cultivate it. Just like working out, I'm going to spend some time, get my body where I need it to be. You can't do that by talking about it. You got to act. And so repent was do the things you did at first. Like, I started spending time with Jesus in his word, not for a sermon, just to love him and be loved by him. We started praying together daily as a couple. So we had the horizontal and the vertical together. Weekly is like we build in a weekly date. So we started to go out and talk about how we're doing. And then annually, it's like retreat annually. Go to a retreat. We speak at marriage retreats all around the country, and couples come up all the time and say, man, we have never done this, our first time in 15 years. And we just look at them and go, that's not a good thing. You need to do this regularly to invest in your spiritual life, invest in your marriage. And so that was part of the practice. And again, I'm not standing here saying we're perfect at that, but those rhythms started to change our entire marriage.
Wow. Well, here you write, vertical marriage is a place where you lose yourself, not necessarily in the dreams and ambitions of your spouse, but rather in the dreams and direction of a trustworthy father. And you had another kind of vision from God, so to speak, or a word from God about dying. And you thought, am I going to die? You know, but God was asking, are you all in? Are you going to sacrifice your whole self? Speak to that in light of this excerpt, because I would imagine coming through this, you don't want to get lost in the spouse's dream, so to speak, but we are there for each other. What was a healthy balance for you? Because Dave does have, I'm sure, a crazy schedule with some of the demands, and you do as well. How did you find that rhythm for you to say, I'm lost in the call of God in my life? Do you know what I'm saying? How did you find that?
Yeah. Yeah, and I did. I felt my own call. Like, even before we got married, I know that God had called me into serving him my whole life. Actually, he calls all of us to do that. Right. But for me, I knew it would be vocationally as well. But I did feel left behind. We had a 4 and 2-year-old. It's easy to feel like, for me, it was feeling easy that Dave's living out his dreams that were our dreams. But then I kind of felt lost in those dreams, like left behind even. And so there was a night that I felt like, and this was right around that beginning of our marriage too, where I felt like God was asking me, he was asking me if I would die for him, for God. And I know some people are saying, wow, how did you hear that so specifically? There are very few times that I felt like God spoke directly into my soul where he woke me up in the night. And it is from his Holy Spirit. And, you know, I test that and make sure it's of God. But I felt like he was saying, Anne, will you give up your life to me? Will you die for me? And I felt like I was thinking, God, I just got married. You know, why do you want me to die? And I felt like he was saying, will you give up your life for Dave? And honestly, Susie, I said no. I said no.
Next question.
I don't want to do that. I'm young, and you know, I don't want to do that. But I felt a sense of Can I use your life to make Dave the man that I've created him to be? Will you go on this journey with me and sacrifice yourself for me and for your marriage? And I cried because it's not something that I wanted to give up. It's giving up your life in order for God to take you to a place that only He has in mind. And I was afraid that I didn't know God well enough to know that He is a trustworthy God who has our best interest in mind, that He wants us to take us to a place where it is fulfilling. It sounds like the scariest place we can be, to give up everything for Him and for our marriage and our kids. But He's saying you'll find life as you give up your life in Him, in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that I did. And I think as Dave and I started getting back on this healthy path, I was amazed at the humbleness Dave displayed in that when we would go out on a date. He would ask me, okay, you thought we were a 0.5 and I thought we were a 10. So he would go out on a date and he would say, tell me, how do you think we're doing now? And then he would just ask me a simple question, how are you doing? Which I'm telling you, you'd think that we would ask that all the time in marriage relationships, but we don't. We get so busy, the demands of life pull us away from one another. And I remember him saying, if you think that we're a 2, how can we get to a 3? And then I thought that was so humble. You know, he wasn't yes. defensive, and he really listened. And it made me want to be better for him as well. It made me want to give whatever I could. And really, isn't it like we give up our lives every day for the sake of the gospel? And then Jesus fills us up to a point that we overflow out of love that He's given us into other people.
You know, we're not hard to sweep off our feet, guys. You know, have the husband take you out to dinner to say, how are you doing? It's like, that's it. I'm in. I'm all done for. But I love that, Dave. Way to go. I mean, truly. And I just think I'm a gal, so I don't know this for sure. But by observation, I feel like it's a tough day to be a man. I mean, to be a man's man in this world, and to be humble and confident, and to, you know, you can excel in one area at the expense of all kinds of other areas. But the humility it takes to say, no, I'm going to be a father, I'm going to be a husband, and I'm going to be good at my job, and I'm going to be a follower of Christ. I mean, to tell you, I just want to say hats off to you, Dave, for fighting a good fight.
I appreciate that, but I would say, man, it's a hard time to be a woman as well.
Indeed.
So,
not
I mean,
true.
It, mm-hmm. it really is. But I think for either one of us, it's just, can we be humble enough to say, God, lead me. I will follow you wherever you want me to be, wherever you want me to go. I mean, I did not want to ask her that question on our dates. That was the last thing, because I knew her number was going to be lower than mine. But I also knew God wanted to take us to a place I couldn't take us to, and that I could learn from her and then follow Him and her to that place.
Yeah. Well, you're so right. And God bless you both. We're going to pause here for our last break, but I appreciate you both fighting the fight of faith for marriage, because what I've really learned is that when we are strong in our marriage, it actually becomes a fortress for so many, that by watching, by looking, by getting encouragement. And it's like you've built a fortress, not only that withstands the storm, but others are being sheltered in as well. Dave and Ann Wilson are my guests today. Vertical marriage, the one secret that will change your marriage. I want you to talk more on the other side about vertical marriage, the title, what that actually means. And if we have time, I want you to unpack a few tips on conflict resolution, just some practical application. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson, talking with Dave and Ann Wilson today, authors of the book Vertical Marriage, the one secret that will change your marriage. Hardcover book, packed full of wisdom. Got a few copies to get into your hands. Just email middays@myfaithradio.com. Put vertical marriage in the subject line. And I'm telling you, whether your marriage is hanging on by a thread or you feel like you're in a good place, this is a great, great book for you. middays@myfaithradio.com. And don't forget the mailing address. So talk, if you would. I'd love both of you actually to speak to the title, Vertical Marriage. And we'll start with you.
Yeah, I think it's exactly what happened, is that when we keep our eyes on Jesus, that's the first place that we find our life, our purpose, our joy, our identity. It's very easy in our culture to go everywhere else but that, and so that's been huge. It's funny, on our honeymoon night, before we got into our wedding bed, we got on our knees at the foot of the bed, and we prayed this prayer that we just prayed, God, we give you our marriage, we give you our lives, and we ask you not just to give us a good marriage, but a great marriage that will impact other people. And so that was the first time that we really went vertical of saying, God, take all of us. We want this. We want to do whatever you want us to do. And it's so interesting that 6 months down the line, we thought we had married the wrong person. And then, you know, we go through these valleys. But honestly, Susie, I thought God didn't hear that prayer when we were first married. And then you wonder, like, does he care? Is he invested in our relationship? Does he have a plan for us? And I really believe that there is an enemy to our souls and our marriage who does everything in his power to keep us from going vertical. And I think that that's the key. When we go vertical, we really do find our life to the point where that we're overflowing. We're filled with the fruit of the Spirit. And even when Paul talks in 1 Corinthians 13 of what is love, it really, that love comes from the Father who lives in us, abides in us, and then we become that love to the world and impact our marriage, our kids, our legacy, and people around us.
Beautiful. Dave, wow, speak to it as well.
Yeah, I think the thing that we've learned, and man, you look at culture, and I think it's always been true, but it's really true right now, is we marry people, we date people that we think will bring us happiness, and that's natural. They're gonna bring me what I've lacked in my life. So we marry this person, and then at some point, this isn't something anybody wants to hear, but at some point, everybody will let you down. At some point, everybody, your spouse will, your kids will, your parents will, your pastor will, everybody at some point. And what we think in marriage is like, I'm not as happy as I thought I'd be. She or he is not bringing me what I thought they'd bring. So we make this conclusion, and we've talked to so many who have said this, I think I married the wrong person. That's what we thought. You know, 6 months in, I was like, I married the wrong person. And our answer in vertical marriage is, you didn't marry the wrong person. You're looking in the wrong place, right? That person can never, they're not equipped or made by God to fill your the hole in your soul. It's a spiritual need that can only be filled by your Creator through His Son Jesus. And when you turn and look up and go vertical and you find life, happiness, power, hope, forgiveness, peace in Christ, and that becomes not only your connection to God, but that becomes the very identity of who you are now as a loved son or daughter of the King. Now you come back to your marriage, totally different. I don't need my spouse to meet my needs. My needs are met in a relationship with Christ. So I come back and I'm overflowing from the well of living water, Jesus, into my marriage. And again, I'm not trying to make it sound easy and, you know, you're just walking around happy, happy in Jesus every moment. But it is real. It's like I have something that my spouse or nobody can ever give me. I got that from Jesus. And now I come back, what? I'm serving my spouse, not taking from my spouse. It literally changes everything.
Indeed. I mean, our spouses and ourselves, we're limited wells. We've got a limited supply. Jesus is a limitless supply. And if we keep trying to draw from each other without drawing from Him, you know, the well will run dry. And wow, what happens when we start to draw on the strength of the Lord? And it truly becomes a testimony in a world where everybody's falling apart. I would imagine, well, I know this to be true, that if you think in your head, I married the wrong person, you can justify just about anything, can't you? I mean, you think about, oh, it was just a wrong choice, then you can talk yourself into just about anything.
Yeah, and again, you start looking elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you start looking elsewhere. And I remember a solid Christian friend years ago had said a number of people told her, God wants you happy. And so she started to look elsewhere. And I sat down with her. I'm like, you really believe that? These are Christian friends telling you to start looking around other than the men that you're married to. It is amazing what we can justify. And we just got a few minutes left. I would love for you both to talk about, I mean, Anne, if you had a young married couple, young gal coming up to you and saying, what's some of the most important advice? I mean, I hear what you're saying, walking intimately with God, cultivating a relationship. But as far as what does my husband need from me, what would you say?
That's a great question. And I wish somebody would have helped me with that when I was younger. I don't think I understood. You know, a lot of books now talk about how men need respect, and they've taken that from Ephesians 4. which is very true. But I just thought, well, of course, everybody needs respect. But I think I would tell a woman that I was talking to now is men long to be cheered for. Mm-hmm. They rise up to the ways in which you see them. And let me just give you an example of, I used to critique Dave. I used to criticize him. And I thought that would motivate him. I thought that he would see how I'm unhappy, and if I could just point out the things that he's doing and what he could do to be better, he would rise to the occasion. He would meet those needs. And honestly, it had the exact opposite effect on him. It made him want to just pull away. And one day he told me, like, I feel like you're continually booing me and not cheering me. And I was so defensive. And there's a part of me that thought, well, gosh, if I tell you you're great, you'll think I'm happy, and then you won't try hard. And it's the opposite. I just started realizing, remember that part in Romans 12:2 that says, don't be conformed by the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In my mind, I was so critical of Dave, always critiquing what he did. It started in my mind, and then it would come out of my mouth. And so I think what I did is I asked Jesus, Father, give me eyes to see Dave the way you see him and cheer the things that you've put into him that are so great. And so, I mean, he miraculously did that, not only for my husband, but for my sons. And it's amazing to me how that motivated Dave. You know, I used to think, like, why would I thank him for taking out the garbage? That's his job. Nobody thanks me for what I do. You know, this just this attitude. And so I started thanking Dave for things. I started telling him and reminding him what he's so good at. And I am amazed of how that was transformational in our home and setting the atmosphere of our home. And I think that I would communicate that to every single young woman of, be a cheerleader for your man, because the world is tearing him apart.
That's right.
You don't realize how much he needs your approval, your cheering, and your support.
Amen. So good. Oh, my goodness. We've got about a minute left before it's time to pray, Dave. Can you answer that for the young man saying, what does my new wife need?
I wish I was the expert, but I am not. But I know this. Your wife longs to be cherished. And here's the thing. We say love her. I don't think we know what love is. We love ice cream. We love everything, right? But cherish is what men know. I cherish my motorcycle. I have a couple guitars. I take care of them. I protect them. I study them. Cherish your wife. Love her. Study her. You know, if she's a person that loves to talk, talk to her. Be gentle. I mean, again, I'm not the perfect guy doing this, but I've learned over the decades, oh my gosh, this woman is a gift from God to me. Protect her. Cherish her. Love her. Be gentle with her. And I want her to feel so loved by God by the way I treat her. She should know how much she's loved by God by the way her man takes care of her. And that is one of my goals, is as I go vertical with Christ, out of that power, to overflow that to my wife.
Man, if we could get these two pieces of advice, that's worth the price of admission right there, and apply them, we would see marriage revivals all over the place. As we get ready to wrap, Dave, I wonder if you'd pray for that marriage that's hanging on by a thread. Would you mind praying right now?
I'd love to. Father God, we give you the marriage, and there's millions of them that are just hanging on. Lord, you know we've been there. We were at the bottom with no hope, and you gave hope, because you are the hope giver. You are the healer. You are the strength and the power. And Lord, we lift up that couple, that husband, that wife who have lost hope. God, give them hope. Right now, as they're listening, God, I pray you give them just a glimmer of hope that the only answer to pull them out of that pit is you. And Lord, I pray that they would do what we did, get on their knees, surrender everything, go vertical. And God, I pray you meet them right where they are, and then you take them on a journey that would blow them away, that you do immeasurably more than they could even ask or imagine, because that's what you do through the power of you, Jesus, within us. So God, we give them to you. We surrender those marriages to you. And I pray, God, you bring hope out of ashes. You bring light into their darkness and save those marriages. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, Ann and Dave, you are an absolute delight. Thank you for giving us your time today.
Thank you. It was a joy.
So fun.
Good to be with you. pray that you found some encouragement here as well. And we've got copies of Vertical Marriage. Just email middays@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget to write Vertical Marriage in that subject line. Remember the mailing address. Pray you found some encouragement here. As you walk intimately with God, remember this, it is impossible for Him to fail you. I'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Susie Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Susie Larson.